Blog Talk Radio.
There's a better world is to come and tell you why. There's a better world is to come and tell you why. We will feed them on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world is to come and tell you why. There's a better world is to come and don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world is to come and don't you see?
Good evening, everyone. This is Mickey Royce, co-producer of the Progressive News Network, sitting in for News Director Richard Spisak, who is on assignment. So welcome, and want to say hello to all our listeners in all the many different cities in Florida who frequent our airwaves, and as well as our friends in California, in San Diego and Los Angeles, and Great Britain, and various and sundry other wonderful places that listen to us. We thank you all. We appreciate your listening to us and sharing your information. So we have two really great guests this evening. And before I bring the first one on, while we're waiting, let me just tell you there's a couple of things that are going on that you might want to know about, our little sort of semi-calendar here. There is an Progressive Democrats of America Brown Bag Lunch Vigil this coming Wednesday, September 19th, at the Pembroke Pines office of Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. That address is 10100 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines, Florida, and the zip is 33026. That happens at 10:30 a.m. If you need more information, go to the Progressive Democrats of America website and look for the Brown Bag Lunch button. It'll give you more information there. Also, very important, on Thursday, September 20th, there is a Let Me Decide campaign kickoff meeting presented by Food and Water Watch. It starts at 6:45 at the Mandel Public Library in West Palm Beach. It's 411 North Clematis Street in West Palm Beach, zip code 33401. And it is to get everybody together and work on genetically engineered foods, which are untested, unlabeled, and potentially unsafe for our health and our natural environment. There are no long-term studies that show that genetically engineered foods are safe for human consumption, but the Food and Drug Administration still doesn't require them to be labeled. So Food and Water Watch is working to label genetically engineered foods statewide so that consumers can decide if they want to eat these ingredients. Agribusinesses like Monsanto have already pledged to spend more than $25 million to keep consumers in the dark and oppose labeling. Health champions like our hero State Representative Mark Pafford are feeling the heat from agribusiness. He needs our help now to back up his strong support for protecting our health, our environment, and our right to know in Florida. So if you want to go to this event, it's September 20th at 6:45 at the West Palm Beach Library on Clematis. And if you need more information, you can go to the website www.foodandwaterwatch.org, or you can contact Jennifer at 561-223-9414, 561-223-9414. That's a real important one for you all to help kick off this thing and let them know that we're not interested in having all kinds of junk in our food and want to be able to make an intelligent choice. Also coming up, I'll tell you about that. I'm going to let Bob Bender tell us about that. They're having a potluck tomorrow night. I'll let him tell you. And then on September 23rd, we have a book review by Mike Budd, co-founder of War Versus Human Needs and activist with the Truth Project. And he's doing a book review. He is a distinguished Florida Atlantic University professor and an activist. He's doing a review at the UUCFL, and the address is 3970 Northwest 21st Avenue, Oakland Park. And I think that's Broward County, and the zip code is 33309. And he's reviewing Rachel Maddow's best-selling book, Drift, The Unmooring of American Military Power. So that should be a good one, and it's free. So they have that also coming up. And then another one I want to be sure to mention is happening in October, but you should mark your calendars and check it out. On October 17th through the 19th is going to be a sustainable and authentic Florida conference. It draws on Miami-Dade to cope with climate change. And this conference takes place, as I said, 17th and 19th, at Anna Maria Island. Its leaders are authorities in social history, in the humanities, environment, water science, and in the new urbanism, and in building genuine community around America. Teams from four Florida places will make the case that Florida already engages well in placemaking, and that Florida placemaking shoehorns us into climate economies, which is to say economies organized around a response to climate change. So anyway, if you want conference details and to register to go, the website is www.sustainableandauthenticflorida.com. Sustainableandauthenticflorida.com. And you might be interested in attending that one. Sounds really good to me. So I think we have our first guest. Let me move my notes. Yes, we do. Hang on a second here. Okay. There we go. I'm clicking. Hello. Hello. Okay, I'm sorry. Clicked in the wrong. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Hi, Piero.
Hi. Yeah, it's Miki. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the Progressive News Network. And it's Falci, right? That's how you pronounce your name?
Yes, Piero Falci.
Piero Falci. Okay, I want to get it the right way. So, okay, Piero, you are the program director for Planet One United. Did I get that right?
Yes,
I always want to twist it around.
Actually, One Planet United.
One Planet United, I'm sorry. And so why don't we start out first, just to set the stage, what is One Planet United?
Sure. One Planet United is a humanitarian nonprofit organization based here in Broward County. And the objective of this organization is to bring people together. So what we do is we do a series of events bringing people from different backgrounds, different ideologies, different religions, and we bring them together to a common place. And we foster conversation, dialogue, and the result, as you can imagine, is people get to know one another a little bit better and dispel prejudice in doing so. So our tagline, if you will, of our organization is embrace diversity, promote unity, and create community. And we do this through a series of events.
Okay, so are these events, do you have like regular meetings once a week, once a month, or are they different? Or
no, they are different. The events that we have are, as I said, bringing people together and starting conversations. So I can give you a few examples, like, for instance, one event that is very successful, and we do this once a year, although we haven't done this last year, is called the Faith in Music Concert. The Faith in Music Concert is bringing people from, let's put it this way, the music ministries from different houses of worship and different religions and different denominations to a common place that would be a city theater, for instance. And what we ask them is we give them the stage for 10 to 15 minutes for them to perform to one another. And then our request is for them to stay until the end so they can all come together to the stage and perform one or two songs together. So that's one example, is the Faith in Music Concert. It's very effective. In the end, you have people from different religions saying, wow, there's a lot of similarities, or I didn't know this. So they get educated through the process. So we have several Christian denominations. We have, Jewish temples, choirs. We have Hindus and Buddhists. And even, you know, the Muslims, they don't have music in their worship, but we do invite poets to read some poetry, from Islam, representing, you know, the Muslim community. So this is one example of a very effective way of bringing people together and sharing and educating them. The other example, for instance, is what we call a series that we call Dialogues in Diversity. We create a panel, and it's an event. We do this in a public place. Usually we do it at the public libraries. And we create a panel of people from different walks of life so they can talk about their experiences and educate the audience. It's a kind of a talk show format. We have one host. Usually it is a member of One Planet United hosting the event. And we just engage in a conversation that ends up being very educational. We have had, I can give you an example, for instance. We have had a dialogue in diversity, women facing prejudice. So we had we invite women from different parts of the world, different walks of life, and different situations. It could be, you know, sexual orientation. It
could be any woman anywhere.
Yeah, and it's interesting how, you know, in this case, women facing prejudice, for instance, we had a Jewish woman in an interfaith marriage. So she was married to a Catholic man. So she tells the story. We had a Caucasian woman married to an African American. We had a Muslim woman living in the U.S. We had a lesbian. We had an African American woman, for instance. She was born in Jamaica. Then she lived in New York. She lived in London. She lived in Ivory Coast. Went back to Jamaica, and now she's living in South Florida. And it's interesting how she...
And wondering why.
Well, what's interesting is that in the several places where she lived, and, you know, she was discriminated against by, let's put it this way, her own peers, people of the same color of skin. You know, she went from Jamaica to New York, but she didn't fit in. Then she went to London, and she didn't exactly fit in. Then she went to the Ivory Coast, and she didn't exactly fit in. Went back to Jamaica, and so she tells a story, and the story is very revealing how we congregate in some tribes, and we are not very welcoming. We're not very inclusive. We exclude people, and we end up wounding people. So just to make this kind of wrap it up, One Planet United, what we try to do is, as I said, encourage people, inspiring people to embrace diversity and to promote unity and to create community.
Which, of course, is what engenders peace.
Exactly, exactly. So the organization is very much focused on you know, on the ideals of peace and unity. So a great part of what we do is also focusing on all initiatives of peace. So we have been promoting for several years now the celebration of the International Day of Peace that happens always every year on September 21st. This was an initiative of the United Nations back in 1981. And they said, okay, let's have an International Day of Peace and let's try to make of this day a day of global ceasefire when people drop down their weapons. And it has been working, let's put it this way, because, you know, when there's no crossfire, the humanitarian efforts in war zones can actually have these 24 hours to go over there and imagine the Red Cross and other humanitarian organizations taking relief to areas there are in the middle of conflict. But it doesn't always work, naturally. So what we're trying to do in this last... the effort started, as I said, in 1981. And then in 2002, they created a fixed date for celebrating the International Day of Peace. It's always, no matter what day of the week it falls, it's always on September 21st of every year. So, you know, it's gaining momentum. And I guess that not a lot of people know about the existence of this date. But we at One Planet United, we felt that our calling to bring this, you know, to promote in the ways that we can promote. So every year we do one or more events around the, on that date and around that date to instruct people or to educate people about the existence of this day and calling them to be peaceful themselves. You know, part of the philosophy of One Planet United is that global peace really starts with personal peace. Peace in our
Absolutely.
Life, peace in our community. And it's that, you know, developing that that desire to help your neighbors in a way, to be at peace with your neighbors. So there is a lot of this that we do. So actually, we have an upcoming event now on September 21st here in...
Yes, I know. I'm looking at the flyer. I have it right here on my computer. Big blue sky flyer, big letters, easy to read.
Well, Nikki, as I said, the International Day of Peace is always celebrated on September 21st of every year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
This year it falls on a Friday. So this coming mm-hmm. Friday, September 21st, we are together with other three organizations here of Coral Springs. One is a music school. It's called the A Major Music School. The other one is the Multicultural Advisory Committee of the City of Coral Springs, a long-time
mm-hmm.
partner of One Planet United. We have had this long-time partnership with the Multicultural Advisory Committee of the City of Coral Springs. And the third organization is the Coral Springs Charter School. So these organizations are joining forces, and we're doing these two events on the International Day of Peace. During the morning hours, we have a place here in Coral Springs called the International Peace Garden.
Mm-hmm. 2855 Coral Springs Drive.
Thank you so much.
And?
thank you. And the International Peace Garden, I'll tell you a little bit about it. The International Peace Garden was created a couple of years ago. It was an initiative of the Multicultural Advisory Committee of the City of Coral Springs and the Community Relations Group. Let's put it this way, the Community Relations Department of the City of Coral Springs. They're very active here in the city, and they decided to create this, dedicate this piece of land and call it the International Peace Garden. The International Peace Garden, it's at the entrance of the Coral Springs Museum of Art. So something that was a joining of forces, if you will, of the Coral Springs Museum of Art and the Community Relations and the Multicultural Committee. And it's a very nice park. This garden is full of sculptures. Oh, very nice. Artists from the Coral Springs Museum of Art has a program called Artists in Residence. So artists come from all over the world, and they stay here in Coral Springs for 1 month or 2 months in average, and they create their pieces, their sculptures, you know, in the museum, and people can come, can talk to the artists, can witness the creation of the sculptures. Actually, art students, they come and they are transferred by artists to be professional artists as well. So we have this piece of land called the International Peace Garden, and we do the morning celebration at 7:45 a.m. It's nice because the community comes out to the garden, and we have kids from several schools in the area here in Coral Springs. And they come and they sing and they bring their pinwheels for peace that they have created in the school, in the art classes, and they plant the pinwheels for peace in the garden.
Mm.
We have unveiled 2 years ago a peace pole, a nice peace pole. You know, with the peace poles, there are throughout the world hundreds of thousands of peace poles, and we did One Planet United. The Chinese Cultural Association and the Multicultural Advisory Committee have joined forces to bring a nice peace pole to the International Peace Garden. With the usual message, may peace prevail on earth. And we have this now in five languages that I remember: Spanish, Creole, Hebrew, and
English.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, so may peace prevail on earth. It's there. And actually, there's another thing. I'll come back to the celebration of the International Day of Peace. But there's another thing that we, at One Planet United, we do every month at the International Peace Garden. We do the so-called Silent Peace Walk. So once a month, it's always on the first Saturday of the month at daybreak, usually at 7 a.m. we congregate there. We walk in silence for 20 minutes for peace in the world. So it's a group of peace lovers. We call ourselves the Peace Walkers. We were inspired by the work of a Vietnamese Buddhist monk who actually, his name is Thich Nhat Hanh, and he was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. During the Vietnam War, Thich Nhat Hanh was kind of trying to promote peace, and he met Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And Dr. King nominated him to receive a Nobel Peace Prize at that time. He didn't receive it, but he received the distinction of being nominated by Dr. King for a Nobel Peace Prize. So inspired by Thich Nhat Hanh, we do the Silent Peace Walk. We walk in silence for peace, as I said, once a month on the first Saturday of the month at daybreak. And we have a little poem that kind of describes the spirit of this walk. It goes pretty much like this. Peace in our hearts brings peace to our nation. Peace in our hearts brings peace to our families. Peace in our families brings peace to our communities. Peace in our communities brings peace to our nations. And peace in our nations brings peace to the world. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. So we kind of do an introspective way of preparing ourselves to be peaceful in our exchanges, throughout the day. So at the International Peace Garden, as I said, on September 21st, we're going to have this morning celebration at 7:45 a.m., and then in the evening at 7 p.m., we have a concert. It's called the Peace in Music Concert, and these are 24 songs from, especially from the 60s and 70s, peace songs, popular peace songs that are going to be performed by the musicians of this music school that I mentioned. It's called the A Major Music School, located here in Coral Springs. And Lou Piccinetti, who is a talented musician, is the music director of the event. So we're very happy.
Also has an Italian name.
Yeah, it's interesting. Piero Falci.
Isn't it interesting?
And Lou Piccinetti. So we are, I usually say, Mickey, that the Italians are 50 million in Italy and 300 million outside of Italy with the mission of with the mission of feed the world with good food.
There you go. That's good. That's good. But you hogged all the art. Someone told me 60% or 66% of the art in the world is in Italy.
Yeah, you know that I don't know.
That's
this,
a lot.
But, I heard that as well. It's I guess that.
That's a lot.
Well, you know, I was born.
But you're doing your share. I mean, you have it in the Peace Garden. What a wonderful place to put it.
Yes,
And encourage it. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
what is Coral Springs? I don't know anything about Coral Springs. Is it a particularly diverse community? Is it a large, small, medium-sized city?
Coral Springs has it's in northwest Broward County. It's quite large. It's it has 125,000, the population, 125,000 inhabitants. It's very diverse. And but more than this, I don't know, we have been blessed with, I think that with a city government that cares for diversity. So the initiatives for bringing people together are many in this community. I can tell you, for instance, only this month, it's upcoming, for instance, something that has been going on for 10 years, I believe. It's called the International Dinner Dance. So every year they choose one country in the International Dinner Dance, and they invite the community. This year I know it's going to be Trinidad and Tobago and Jamaica commemorating 50 years of their independence, I believe. So they have this culture event. Another culture event that they have is called, that we have here in Coral Springs, is called the World Fest. It's a festival of nations where we have for 2 days, we have all sorts of, music and food and dance, poetry reading, storytelling. It's fantastic. So, and I don't know, for many years now, we have had this partnership. Our nonprofit organization, One Planet United, has had this very successful partnership with the City of Coral Springs through its Multicultural Advisory Committee. So we always end up doing things together. The executive
sounds like a very progressive government there you've got.
Apparently, yes, yes. And
good, we like progressives.
We feel very blessed, with with what we have here. We, for instance, even in our, we have one organization called the Clergy Committee, and they put together, they have been putting together for many years now, the Interfaith Thanksgiving Service. So usually the day before Thanksgiving, in one of the, many different houses worship, it can be a Christian church 1 year, a Jewish temple the next year, it can be the mosque another year, they go to different houses of worship, and it's beautiful. I mean, you have music ministries from different houses of worship. They rehearse together for the Interfaith Thanksgiving Service, and the Interfaith Thanksgiving Service is built in a way that you have probably 10 to 15 different pastors and imams and rabbis on stage, and they come and each one of them say a few words. It's, it's very cool, very nice. So we have been blessed to be in this environment, and it has been nurturing, what we do here at One Planet United.
That's great. So your Peace and Music concert is at 7 o'clock on September 21st at the Coral Springs Charter School Auditorium, and the address is 3205 North University Drive, also in Coral Springs, yes?
Perfect, exactly. And
I'm just reading what's written. It's easy. It's easy peasy. The doors open at 6:30. Admission is free. I can read. This is really good. I like it when it's clear.
Fantastic, Nikki. Yes, admission is free, 6:30 p.m. We're going to open the doors. We hope to have a large crowd, and we hope to be able to accommodate everybody as well. So
great, great. So before I say goodnight to you and welcome my next guest, who is going to be, isn't he going to be singing at this event?
No, he will not. Actually, when he comes,
I thought his group was going to do
that.
Oh, okay.
I know who your next guest is going to be. Actually, when he contacted us, we had already defined the music segment.
Okay.
complete. But I told him maybe next year, you know. So I have a list.
Okay.
I have a waiting list, and he's in our waiting list, and I'm so happy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy that so many people, actually, so many artists, and this is cool, so many artists said, we would love to participate. And I said, well, we are booked this time. Let's see for next year. So it's going to be, you know, hopefully this, we are going to have other opportunities to do this. We will, and hopefully we're going to be listening to both next time.
Great. So, okay, so just do you want to let everybody know what your website is and what's, you know, 30 seconds or less, what is it that you want people to know?
Okay, just go to One Planet United website, and it's the address is OP United for One Planet United, just the letter O, the letter P, united.org, opunited.org, and you're going to see the several things that we do and the several programs that we have available for the community. And I thank
okay.
you very much, Nikki, for everything.
Thank you, Piero. Thank you. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Mr. Bender.
Here I am.
There you are with your melodious voice. How are you?
I'm very well, Nikki. How are you?
I'm delighted to hear it. Absolutely delighted to hear it. So I'm really happy to have you on the Progressive News Network. And oh, wait, I'm sorry. Can you just give me a second? I have to do a little promo here.
Mm-hmm.
The Progressive News Network has been brought to you by Imagineering Productions for your search engine optimization or web design, all things internet, and as well as the Media Goddess Worldwide, telling your story to the world. Okay, those are our sponsors. Hi.
Hi.
So, Mr. Peacenik, where do you want to start? You are the co-founder of War versus Human Needs, and this is the Peacemaker Show, so I thought you'd be perfect to talk. You have so many places that you've been and so many things that you've done, so I leave it to you to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Fantastic, Mickey. As always, really enjoy working with you. I want to start with describing what War versus Human Needs is and ways
Great.
That people can become involved with us.
Perfect.
We are a South Florida grassroots activist group formed from Rethink Afghanistan to promote devoting resources for human needs and full employment and for the reduction of the U.S. military. We're an organizational member of Peace Action, the nation's largest grassroots peace organization. Peace Action originated as the Committee for Sane Nuclear Policy, then became Sane Freeze, and then became Peace Action. Rethink Afghanistan in South Florida, we established in 2009 to question the U.S. war policy there. Our core activity was showing the Robert Greenwald award-winning documentary film, Rethink Afghanistan, to community groups and providing a discussion leader. It was quite popular. We made 26 presentations in 18 months. So we contributed to the now dominant public opinion that the proper course for the United States is to exit Afghanistan militarily now. In recognition that the composition of the U.S. budget would be at the fulcrum of social and economic policy in the next period, in 2010, we renamed ourselves War versus Human Needs, and last year, we developed a multimedia presentation, also with a discussion leader, Your Federal Taxes, Where Do They Go and Who Reaps the Benefits, which is now available to community groups. And groups that are interested can contact us through email. That's our major means of communication at warvhumanneeds@gmail.com. Leadership on this project is exerted by Melody Willis from Tamarack and Carol Lewis from Brighton Beach. Our other activities include direct and indirect lobbying, meeting with members and our staff members of Congress and calling for our constituents to contact our representatives about the pending issues. Earlier this year, our legislative group, which consisted of John Iacovelli of Deerfield Beach, Mike Budd of Boca Raton, Ed Rujak of Hollywood, and myself, focused on the candidates in the 22nd Congressional District primary election. We developed a pointed questionnaire, which we hoped would elicit from the candidates specific positions on issues of our concern, but unfortunately, both candidates declined to respond. The questionnaire is being used in public forums to question other candidates to make candidates become specific as to what they expect to be for and to be against when and if they serve as our legislators. We also have a book discussion series, and your listeners, as you pointed out at the beginning of the program, are invited to join us next Sunday, September 23rd at 12:50 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Lauderdale in Oakland Park, where activist and distinguished FAU professor Mike Budd will lead a discussion on Rachel Maddow's book, Drift, The Unmooring of U.S. Military Policy, The U.S. Love Affair with War. We also do public education leafleting. And all are welcome at our Eat and Plan meeting tomorrow evening, Monday, September 17th, in Deerfield Beach. Contact again by email at our email address or by phone 954-531-1928 for specifics. We are unfortunately far from a mass organization, but of the 25 or so of us who are significantly involved, there's a range of interests and abilities, from those willing to make organizational phone calls and distribute leaflets to those who have the audacity and the capacity to grapple with the big issues like the specifics of the federal budget so that we can be better, more effective advocates. So let us know of your interest. And a related organization, that deals with peace as well as other social justice issues, is the Labor Outreach Group of Occupy Fort Lauderdale. This group, which sponsored an excellent new May Day Struggles program, is now gearing for marking Dr. Martin Luther King Day in January. And for calls to action on what would Martin Luther King do now. We have a national speaker from Peace Action, Judith LeBlanc, who's going to be speaking on Dr. King's work, emphasizing his work for world peace and against militarism. And there's the group that is planning this is meeting next Saturday, September 22nd at 4 p.m., also at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Lauderdale. Everyone is invited to join in and also to benefit from a presentation on the proposed Broward County wage theft ordinance by the knowledgeable Reverend Gail Tapscott. So that's things for people to do. I wanted to next relate a bit about the military budget and the domestic budget.
I'm sorry, did you mention the January Martin Luther King, or are you saving that for later?
What I wanted to do, Mickey, was to end with an excerpt from Dr. King's speech in where he came out against the Vietnam War. It was a very moving presentation.
Right.
But that event
fine.
Is going to be on January 13th, so there's plenty
of time.
Well,
we have time.
For...
Okay, we'll okay. I'm sure we'll help you promote it and whatever and let people
great.
Know.
Great, that would be wonderful.
I'm just looking at what was written. So mm-hmm. you have lots of things going on, and it's open to anybody that's interested in coming, and you're primarily, it seems to be, in Broward County. It's actually, Deerfield Beach, is it? In Palm Beach County or in Broward County?
Deerfield Beach is the northernmost municipality in Broward County. And our de facto turf is between mid-Palm Beach County and mid-Broward County. And we've been mostly alternating our meetings. Specifically, Mike Budd, who's been one of the leaders of this organization, gave a good presentation on the same subject in Boynton Beach a few months ago. So kind of do it at one end of our extremity and then at the other end. And it's some of the same
so you
people.
Kind of cover
some people will travel more, but many people won't. So we try to hit
right.
as many
right.
afford people.
So you're basically servicing
the
at least two counties. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Just checking.
Great.
Just want to clarify
okay.
that. And
sure.
the website, just in case anybody wants, because one time may not be enough time for somebody to write it down, it's WAR, W-A-R, V as in victory, human needs, just like it sounds, all one word, at gmail.com. So.
That's the Gmail address.
Right. That's the
not,
Gmail address that you gave.
Right. And that's the best way to be in touch.
Right. So that's why I said it again.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you wanted to talk
okay.
about the budget?
I certainly wanted to talk about the budget in the short run and the longer run. 2 years ago, our country spent almost $700 billion on its military. That's as much as the top 15 other countries combined, including China, the United Kingdom, France, Russia, and was 43% of the total world share of military spending. Our country accounts for about 5% of the world's population. So we are certainly the elephant in the room when it comes to military spending, with no one anywhere near close to us as a competitor or to be in any kind of a race. The United States has military presence in over 150 countries around the world, including Japan, Germany, and South Korea, from wars and conflicts that were concluded over 60 years ago. Our very presence is an imperial footprint that is both symbolic for the occupied and has real life and death consequences for civilians. Our country faces major choices in the years ahead. Can we continue with the military consuming the lion's share of national resources such that the social and economic security of our population is emasculated? Obviously, that's a rhetorical question that our organization answers it in the negative and feels the compulsion to do the best we can to promulgate that view to the general population and to our legislators. There no longer need be an arms race. With the demise of the Soviet Union, no other country or countries are in the running. There's now even more intense competition for federal resources between so-called defense and non-defense resources, particularly for programs for low and moderate income people like Medicaid, Pell Grants, food stamps, and low-income housing. And let me parenthetically mention that the terminology was actually more accurate prior to 1947 when the name of the War Department was changed to the Defense Department. There's no threat now like that which was perceived during the Cold War, whatever we thought about it, and none on the horizon. China spends about 17% on its military, as the United States does. In 1986, our country's military spending was 60% as high as its adversaries as a group. Today, the United States spends 250% of that of our potential adversaries, including Russia and China. So if the United States cut our spending in half, it would still be spending more than its current and potential adversaries. The balance would be twice
isn't as... Isn't the military spending like more than half the money that is spent altogether for the country, the government spends for different things?
It's approximately half of the discretionary federal budget. That
yeah,
is
okay.
the federal budget excluding the mandated costs, which are some substantial, like Social Security and Medicare. But of what Congress has the option to vote on each year, the military is approximately half.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big chunk.
Huge.
Couldn't and shouldn't be as huge.
No, doesn't sound like reasonable to me.
Yeah.
But there must be a whole lot of money, a whole lot of people making money on it.
Oh, boy. That's the
really?
Understatement of the image. It sure is. That is the notorious military-industrial complex made famous by President Eisenhower, and that it's been estimated some 33 million people in the country are directly or indirectly beneficiaries of the military-industrial complex, which provides an enormous amount of political support for the military, not only the people who are directly in the military, but the huge contractors and the workers who work in the making the missiles and the hardware. Not to mention the proliferation of private contractors, Halliburton and Xi, which have become also notorious, and that's a whole big policy issue of how much we should be relying on the private sector to perform the genuine military work, not to mention the illegitimate military work. And anyway,
I'm sorry if I threw you off there.
No, that's what your role is.
And your role is to talk about this kind of thing because you are a former accountant, right?
Actually, wrong.
You directed the accountants for the public interest. You are a number
correct.
Cruncher of
I was the executive of accountants for the public interest in New Jersey for 15 years. That's a wonderful community service organization, through which virtually 1,000 accountants in New Jersey did at least some community service work. We had a really wonderful program. But I am not and never have been an accountant. I did get into policy issues on auditing and on education. And I did take a few accounting courses along the way. But
you're just a smart guy. You're not
the
a
accounting
number
profession
okay.
will not cannot claim me as an accountant.
Okay, sorry about that.
Neither
good
can
smart.
I.
All right, we'll settle for that. That's good. That works.
Okay. Actually, that comes up here, too, in that the Department of Defense is one of the few federal agencies which cannot be audited because they cannot keep their records in a responsible way. And one of the critics of the Department of Defense, of which there are many in Congress, but the Republican senator from Oklahoma, Coburn, had threatened to hold constant the funding for the Department of Defense until they could actually pass an audit. They could actually conduct an audit. I mean, this is an outrage. All of the accountants who are now listening to this program around the world are jumping up and down in anger that our federal money by the trillions has such a substantial amount of money that is explicitly not accounted for, not to even suggest how much is wasted and stolen. It is a total outrage. At any rate, there have been, but what happens is that Congress keeps postponing doomsday on this, which is a reflection of the power that the military-industrial complex has. At any rate, we spent $1 trillion on the countries of Iraq and Afghanistan, whose population is 1% of the world's population. and that's not brought a reliable peace or stability to either. Few believe that large-scale and protracted counterinsurgency campaigns are a sustainable model for future U.S. action. Our wars there don't represent the most direct way to blunt these challenges that concern us the most, like terrorist attacks targeting the U.S. and by nuclear proliferation. Now, looking more particularly at the federal budget, this is a little bit of a tutorial here, but budget analysts, including those in government, have chosen a 10-year time period for projections. Now, these projections build in desired increases, so that when there's a reference to budget cuts, you're not really talking about a reduction in dollars that are going to that particular function or department. What you're talking about is a cut in their expected increase, and it's usual, almost always an actual net increase. Not something for the public in general to keep aware of. When we are hearing now incendiary comments from, among others, Representative West, who's a leading advocate of the military, and of how disastrous it will be if there is significant cuts in the military. Although the administration is making noises not as bizarre as Representative West, but along the same lines. Also, when considering the budgets, we also have to really be aware of the changing definitions and categories, like there's a difference between defense and non-defense and security and non-security. And I'm not going to go into what all that means, but there are sort of caveats along the way. In the 10-year period between 2011 and 2020, the cumulative total for the military was projected to be $5.5 trillion. Now, the size of the federal deficit, that is the debt, that's obviously been a contentious issue. Progressives generally have deemed our debt to be manageable, while conservatives have seen the sky falling. All agree that some level of prudence is necessary. Expenditures have to be monitored and hard choices made. So in nominal terms, the defense budget is going to grow, but not at the level of the 23% that was planned, but under the most stringent circumstances, rather at 16%. Now, and Congress enacted last year a Budget Control Act, which was signed by President Obama, that called for a $450 billion reduction in planned Department of Defense spending over the next decade. Then Congress also enacted, and the President signed, Sequestration Plan, which is now scheduled to go into effect January of 2013, a few months from now. And that consists of additional reduction in both defense and non-defense categories. And what we will see immediately after the election in the lame duck Congress is big moves to go back on the deal that was made in the sequestration, which has big cuts in the military, but also big cuts in the domestic sector. So this constitutes a dilemma for those of us who believe that there should be big cuts in the military, but there shouldn't be big cuts in programs that actually serve people. There's going to be a lot of effort in the direction of doing away with this sequestration act. Today is September 16th.
16.
2 days ago, the Obama administration released a report detailing how some $120 billion in cuts to defense and social programs next year will be applied unless Congress takes action to avert the automatic cuts. Now, we are in somewhat of a dilemma, as I explained, because we want the big military cuts, and we don't want the big social service cuts, and we got to be shrewd about it all. I did want to conclude with the excerpt from Dr. King's speech at the Riverside Church a year before he was assassinated. These are revolutionary times. All over the globe, men in those days, are revolting against old systems of exploitation and oppression. And out of the wombs of a frail world, new systems of justice and equality are being born. The shirtless and barefoot people of the land are rising up as never before. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Now, let me tell you the truth about it. They must see Americans as strange liberators. They watch as we poison their water, as we kill a million acres of their crops. They must weep as the bulldozers roar through their areas, preparing to destroy the precious trees. We have destroyed their two most cherished institutions, the family and the village. We have destroyed their land and their crops. This is the role our nation has taken. I am convinced that if we are to get on the right side of the world revolution, we as a nation must undergo a radical revolution of values. We must rapidly begin the shift from a thing-oriented society to a person-oriented society. When machines and computers, profit motives, and property rights are considered more important than people, the giant triplets of racism, materialism, and militarism are incapable of being conquered. Very moving words. I would also just want to mention the importance in my thinking of the author Chalmers Johnson, who died 2 years ago and who wrote really powerful books on military policy, on the U.S. role in the world, which was having an empire and an imperial empire, and predicting the blowback that we have experienced in Afghanistan and that we are now experiencing again in the Middle East from our former aggressive policies, many of which were kept secret from the American public and have come back to haunt us and to discredit us in the eyes of the entire world.
Well, the good news is there are people like you that are trying to make it better.
Well, thank you. And we're hoping that more such people will join us and the other progressive organizations that you have on your wonderful program and get active, because it's one thing to bemoan the problems, but it's another thing to get your hands a little bit dirty and try to redress them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we try to bring it to the public attention of all the things that are going on around the state, these people that are getting their hands dirty, are going to a protest or leading some kind of a march or whatever it would be. That's what we try to highlight on the Progressive News Network, because there are lots of people out there that are doing good things, and we want to encourage other people that there is something you can do, and it starts with each individual. It really does.
Absolutely.
Standing up and making
Absolutely.
A difference. And you certainly do. And please say hello to your lovely wife, Patty.
Hello, Patty.
Who will be there tomorrow night, right, at the Bring a Dish, Eat and Socialize event.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you never know. I may show up one day. In any case, remember, if you want to get in touch with Bob, it's the warvhumanneeds@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Bob, for calling
Thank
in today.
Thank you so much for all your
joining
good
us. All right. Take care. Talk to you later.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap for the night. I just want to tell you that on October 27th at 6:15, Real Politique is going to be screening Robert Greenwald's documentary, The Koch Brothers Exposed, and there'll be music by the Pink Slip slingers. But the interesting thing about this, in addition to the fact that this documentary is so good, is that Richard Spisak is going to moderate this event, which is at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Boca Raton, 2601 St. Andrews Boulevard. And a $5 donation is suggested. So, good night. Thank you for listening. And remember, peace begins with me and you.